Amen. What's up, fam? How y'all doing? It's so fun to be with you guys on New Year's Eve. I know you got tons of plans. You got like wine coolers on ice ready to go and stuff, right? And you're like, hold on, we can come worship for an hour. So give yourself a round of applause for joining us this weekend. Is any Sunday morning people in here? Yeah, a couple of y'all? Right on. See, I told you the Saturday night people aren't that scary. This is great. What about any kiddos in the room hanging out with us this evening? Oh, you're obeying mommy and daddy real well. You can make some noise. Hey, are the kids in the room this evening or what? All right. I'm so glad you guys are here because you know what? You guys are going to pay better attention than your parents because I have discussion questions for this sermon tonight. So you can grill your parents on every one of these questions on the way home to see how well they paid attention. All the kids said, amen. All right, I'll convert you guys in just a minute. Don't worry, you'll be having a good time soon. So, thanks for coming, Pastor Brian here. I'm gonna try and get you out of here by 7. I don't know if that's gonna work. But glad you're here. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's a new year right around the corner. Hopefully, Christmas was wonderful. Like Brent mentioned, next week in the new year, we're gonna be starting a study through Psalm 119. If you go to your Bible right now, you'll notice that's a pretty long psalm. So we're going to spend a few weeks unpacking that because it's beautiful and it's God's word. But for today, it was kind of left blank on our preaching calendar. We had that I was on deck to preach, but my topic was whatever you want, which is my opportunity to finally, I have given free rein. Now I could talk about my favorite things. I could talk about the doctrines of election and predestination and the sovereignty of God and the Reformation and the Protestants and the fiery Puritans. But I'm going to hold back this week on y'all. We'll have to do that another time. We have a free night on the preaching schedule. But if you remember, before the Christmas series, we spent about 2 months walking through this series called The Church. And it was really awesome. We talked through a lot of specific things that makes us Christians unique and beautiful in this world. And I really dug each and one of those sermons. It was so awesome. They really just invigorated me. I was on fire, had this new passion and love and resolve to just love Jesus' bride, the church. And so much so, I love that series, I decided that it would be perfect for us to do one more topic in that series on the church. So I've titled our sermon this weekend, tonight, that's the reminders. I don't want to do that one. Let's see. How about this? And Devoted Disciples, part 9. Again, there's handout if you want to follow along with the message blanks. But because you and I are the church, we are the body, we are the bride, we are the beloved, we are the saints, we are the sons and daughters of Jesus. We are called disciples. So I thought it'd be perfect time for us to remind ourselves, what does it mean for us to be devoted disciples? Obviously, disciples, if you were a Christian bought with the blood, that's who you are. You are a follower, a student, a learner of Jesus. And when he says the word devoted, I always just think of the word devotion, and I think of like devotional, and I get all these emails from every awesome Christian mind in the world wanting to give me a cute little devotional every morning, and they're great. But when the word devotional, devoted, has such a bigger meaning, it means loyal, right? It's like I'm deeply devoted to something. What are you devoted to? We're devoted to our sports teams. If you're a really good spouse, you'll go like, I'm devoted to my wife. And we go, yes, that's a great thing to be devoted to. Or your job, you're loyal. Even if it's begrudgingly, you're loyal and you're devout to your job. Other things, right, playing online video games, we're loyal to those. Man, boy, howdy, are we. Or our phones, you know, statistics say that we check our phones 80 to 90 times a day. So we're pretty loyal and devoted to them. Let's see what else. Metallica hasn't been very good for like 30 years, but I'm still just really devoted to them. It's a bad marriage, if I'll be honest. They just have not contributed much to our relationship lately. But resolved. What else? Friends, exercise, diet, those types of things. But what does it mean specifically for us as Christians to be devoted disciples? And this evening, we're going to really look at a few verses just from the book of Hebrews. If you remember all this last year, we went through the letter to the Hebrews as well. So I'm just going to pop up some of those verses to remind us again about why it's essential for us to grow in our devotion to Jesus, and as well as why it's important for us to grow in our devotion and loyalty to one another. So I present to you two questions this evening that you can write down if you would like on your handout. This is what you can talk about on your way home this evening. How can I daily grow in my devotion to Jesus? And how can I grow in my devotion to my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ? Scripture is going to give us those answers tonight. So if you bow your heads with me, I'll pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for worship, that we could come and sing to you and proclaim your truths. Thank you for the men and women and the children who showed up this evening to come and hear from you, to worship you, to love you, to learn from you, to be charged by you. God, would you give us the resolve to be more devoted to you? I pray that you would bring that to our hearts this evening right now, Jesus, that we would consider what it is that has the most of my time and my affections. And is there something that needs to maybe change in us personally? Lord, we ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you'd bring that to our mind and that would resonate with our hearts. We ask that in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, so 2023 is here like tomorrow. And it used to be back in the day, people would like have these things called resolutions. Do people still do? Does anybody like, you're like tomorrow, January 1, New Year's resolution. Do people still do that? One person. Okay, so back in my day, what people used to do, they're like, all right, tomorrow, day one, I'm going to diet, I'm going to exercise, I'm going to brush my teeth more, I'm going to do less carbs, less sugar, less Xbox, less whatever, Netflix, I'm going to do more walks, more breathing, more naps, whatever it is, right? And this evening, I'm not really going to bug y'all and poke y'all about what I think your resolutions for next year needs to be, but I just want to present to you maybe just the most basic ingredients of what it means for us to be disciples of Jesus. And then you can evaluate and wrestle with the Lord with any of these things this evening that may feel like you need to work and grow and be more devoted to. So our first thing this evening, if you want to follow along in your handout, basically and most essentially, devoted disciples, you and I are people that hear from God. That's who we are. We've been given God's word. We encountered the living God. He's invaded our life, and he's given us a new heart and a new spirit, and he's given us the word, and he's given us prayer, and he's given us one another to do life with. All these things are encounters given to us by the living God. And with everyone and everything out there in the world that wants more of our time and our devotion this next upcoming year, I think we need to remind ourselves that so does the Lord want more of our time and our affections on our devotions this year. And thankfully for our sake, he has spoken to us here. God's given us his word, and it's something that Hebrews reminds us that we need to be devoted, to pay attention, and hold fast to. Therefore, we must pay closer attention in Hebrews chapter 2. This next year is coming with it endless amounts of things that are going to compete for all of your attention. Right, you got school, you got your job, you got finances, you got the economy, you got the car problems, you got the relationships, you got the political climate, and then there's our entertainment and music and social media that's really intentional and getting more and more of our time and our energy and our hearts. There's going to be more sports and mommy blogs and workouts and diets and concerts and Twitter and Instagram and TikTok, more movies, more restaurants, more Mr. Beast, more The Bachelor, more murder mystery podcasts, more Minecraft, more Fortnite, more Goat Simulator 3, more kids sports, more recitals, more ballet, and more hiking and more skiing and more camping. And I'm not saying any of those things are bad, but we don't even have to try, and those things are already coming down the pike. There's no end to the amount of things that's just resolved to eat up more of our time and our hearts and our affection. So may I present that you and I together would instead, we'd pay much closer attention to that which we've heard. We would be resolved, we'd be devoted to hear from God more this year, because that's going to take a lot more work. And as your friend and as your pastor, this is so badly what I want for us in a time where we're consuming anywhere from 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 to 7 to 8 hours a day on our cell phones, being consumed with images and influencers and information, that we instead would be people who are devoted to get more Bible, not less, more spiritual discipline, not less, more theology, more doctrine, more gospel-centered relationships, more living life evangelistically and on mission, more compassion, more faith, more hope, more Jesus, not less. But God's word says we got to pay closer attention because Lord knows we are already so distracted. Where are you at today? Ask yourself, am I making any strides towards Jesus? Am I just content with where I'm just sitting? I'm just in the kiddie pool? Am I being pulled out to the sea by the currents of all the distractions? We are so distracted. Scripture says we need to pay closer attention to the gospel, to the truth, to what we've heard, what we confess. But not only are we going to have endless opportunities for distractions, additionally, this next year is going to have endless opportunities of nonstop assaults on your faith. Being a Christian person, it is not popular to be a Christian. Hebrews 10 speaks to that. It says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. Did I lose it? Where'd he go? Yeah, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. So the first century church, they were the recipients of this letter and they were getting guff for their confession of faith, right? Leaving Judaism and going to the gospel of Jesus Christ, going to the blood of Jesus is sufficient to cover their sins. They were getting a lot of flack for that. Facing regular humiliation and persecution, being tempted and lured back into their faith of bondage and legalism. And for us today, really nothing has changed. Spiritually, we don't get much religious persecution, like pushing us into religion. We're just getting pushed into secularism. And everything is whatever, and love is this, and what is that, and my heart says this, and up is down, and left is right. We live in a world that is so extremely intentional and devoted to tear your faith apart, that wants to squash Jesus right out of your heart and off of your lips. They want to flip your faith upside down and turn your confession on its head to become more devoted and loyal to their cause and to their agenda and to their platforms. I mean, trying to navigate through this life as a Christian person is like trying to drive through like a snowstorm. There's ice on your windshield and you got really bald tires. Like, if I'm not paying attention, whoop, there we go. Scripture says you need to hold tight. Woo, 10 and 2. Everybody's trying to hit me. Everybody's trying to crash into this thing. If I'm not paying attention, I'm going, I'm off. Plenty of distractions, plenty of assaults coming your way. As devoted disciples, we have to pay closer attention. We have to hold fast. Hold fast, it means like to grip, to hold tight, right? Don't let go. We need to cling to our confession. So how do we do that? Devoted disciples are devoted to continue to dig deeper. We have to keep digging deeper into God's word. Hebrews chapter 6 says, let us leave the elementary doctrine. Did you notice that every one of these verses as well are plural? It's not an individual thing. It's talking to us communally. This is for us. Let us together. My faith is individual and my faith is communal with you. Let us grow. Let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ. Let's not settle for baby food. That's what the author is pleading with us. We have to remember there's a responsibility. We got to grow up. We cannot be 42 living in my parents' basement playing Xbox and drinking Mountain Dew and Totino's pizzas. I got to grow up a little. Just a little bit. Sorry if that's you. I just threw you under the bus in front of your mama and all of your friends. But we got to keep growing, right? Scripture talks about that a lot. You talk about seeds and faith, and that's what the word of God is often referred to as a seed. Jesus says that he is the living water that nourishes us. In Psalm 1, it speaks about the woman who delights in God's word. They're like a tree that's planted by streams of water that yield fruit in its season, and the leaves don't wither. So the Bible talks about us growing and maturing. You think about a plant. My wife's got this green thumb out of nowhere. She just kind of started doing the whole plant thing. And we have plants in the house like every day, like they just show up. I don't even know where they came from. They're just there and they're just growing and they're thriving. And she does one thing. She just waters them. And then they become a problem because they get too big. So she has to like repot them and put them in like bigger things. And then she like cuts them off. Propagating or something. And then she like plants new ones. And then those grow babies. And every time people come over, she's giving away plants. And these things just grow because there's one job. You just feed them. Just give them water. The Bible is chock full of reminders for us, man. We, as Christians, man, our soul is dependent on God's word for survival, for maturing, right? It's essential for us, for our survival. In chapter 6, verse 1, saying, don't settle for spiritual dehydration. We have to grow up in the faith. We have to mature spiritually. When we're already full and stuffed with everything else, we got to keep growing. Give yourself that evaluation right now. Man, where am I at? What does my devotion to Jesus look like daily? Am I growing? Have I been watered recently? Am I drying out? Here's my charge for us, that we, the body, we would grow as a church, as sons and daughters of the Most High, that we would grow in our spiritual maturity, that we would not settle. Next year, it's just another run around the track. We're just walking around the same cul-de-sac every year. But we would be stirred up with passion to grow, that we would not settle for, like, sitting in the kiddie pool with arm floaties, right? That we would grow up, we would mature from that, and we would realize that, oh, we're in a race, and we need to get in the big kid pool, and we got to start learning how to run some laps. Scripture says we got to keep moving. We got to grow. The world's getting smarter. Man, well, they're getting dumber, but like they're really, really getting more clever at tearing down your faith. And if you're just sitting there in the kiddie pool, taking it easy, oh man, what a fool. That guy looks really dumb, right? Am I in the kiddie pool? Mama got me some arm floaties. Or are we gonna get in the race? Let us be devoted to growing in God's word. We got to read our Bible. We got to not just read it, but we got to believe it. And we need to have a desire. We need to say, God, help me have a desire to even read your word. Right? We got plenty of different resources for you. You go to trc.life/Bible. We have tons of ways to help you start or just maybe do a little better at reading scripture, really believing that God speaks to us here and this is vital for us and this will nourish me and this will help me grow into spiritual maturity in a world that is raging against God and his people. Oh, we need help. What would that look like practically for you to just turn up your devotion to reading God's word just by like one degree? Or maybe you're crushing it with your Bible reading and there's just certain topics. Maybe you're like, man, I wish I really knew more about this, right? I think everybody has that. You're like, man, I read a lot of stuff online and I hear a lot about this. I would really love to know a little bit more about that. Maybe this year, maybe tomorrow, you're like, oh, I'm going to buy a book and I'm going to read about that. And if you want some topics, here's some bunch of different topics. You can just start with one of these. Maybe you're like, oh man, I would sure love to know more about the Trinity or prayer or sharing my faith or what about Old Testament prophecies or marriage and my parenting, the life of Jesus, world religions and cults and what about works and grace and what, there's endless amount of topics. Are any of those you're like, oh man, I'd actually really like to learn more about those things. Do it. Turn up the degree, buy a book and then read it. And then we can do this together, right? I mean, we call this small groups, being devoted to digging deeper into God's word. Small groups are a great place for this. In the next few weeks, you're going to hear about that a little bit more. We're going to be talking about why it's so vital for us, why we pitch that so badly from stage that you got to be doing life more than 48 minutes here on a Sunday or a Saturday night. Man, because if this is it, yeah, you might be getting watered, but man, you're spiritually dehydrated. If this is it, in the amount of hours in the workplace and online and movies, of how much they're indoctrinating you and you're coming here to hear 45 minutes of truth, man, who's winning? So small groups could be a really great place for you. You should think about it. You should pray about it. And maybe you get excited about those topics and you're like, I would love to study those things with me and my buddies. You should do it. I would love to help you get that small group started. I'm kind of the guy to help you get that small group started. So hit me up. I would love to help you and your buddies do a fun Bible study on the end times, or the end times. Additionally, devoted disciples draw near to God. We call this prayer, right? Hebrews chapter 4, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. We're talking about an intimate, real, deep, personal relationship with the God who hears and sees you. Prayer. God wants to speak to you here, and he wants to hear from you here because he's a good father. He's given us his word, and he wants to communicate with you through prayer. Man, what a privilege it is for us to be able to approach the throne of grace with confidence. Like any good father would have a relationship with his child, Right? I'm a father. I kind of like my kids. Actually, some would say I really love my kids. They're awesome. I don't just instruct them and teach them and correct my son and my daughter, which is a lot of that, but I also just really like to hear from them. I like to hear about their day, the things that are encouraging them, the things that they're passionate about, the things about their dreams and their hopes and their futures. And also, I want to hear about the things burdening them. I want to hear about the stuff that's causing turmoil and stress or fear or anxiety in their lives. I want to love on them when they're doing good. And I want to love on them when they're not doing very good. Because I'm trying to be a good dad. And I really like them. I want their affections. I want their heart. I want to hear from them. How much more true of this is this of our good Father in heaven? He wants our attention. He wants our affection. He desires your time and your voice and your heart. And prayer testifies to the most beautiful thing, that you matter to God. Like, that's what prayer is. It's God saying, you matter to me. I want to hear from you. Put that game down for a minute. Put the phone down. Buddy, look at me in your eyeballs while you're chewing that food. I want to talk to you because I care about you. Prayer is where you and I are to go if we truly believe that. It's like prayer and God's word. It's like this all-access backstage pass. We have access to the throne of grace, to God, whenever we want. Think about how much access our cell phones have over our entire lives, right? Like, we can't do anything without them. Like, we can leave our wallets at home. That's fine. I got Apple Pay on my phone. I can leave my car keys. It's okay. My phone can start my car now. I can lose my kids at the mall and be like, they'll figure it out. But like, if you leave your phone, oh, dude, hold, stop, turn around. I need my phone, man. There's emails, and Sports Warehouse has a deal. What? And now Shields? No way. And did you see what this dude's? It's the first thing we grab when we wake up. Good morning. Hi. I missed you. When we go to bed, I love you. I love you. I love you. Right? They chirp at us. They beep at us. They give us notifications, and we're fumbling. Oh, no. What did somebody say? I'm important. Somebody has something to tell me. There's a deal at Kohl's. What? Somebody needs my opinion. You got it, mister. Who's trying to get in touch? Somebody's trying to get in contact with me? Yeah, the Lord is. He sent you some notifications, 66 books, chock full of them. Holy Spirit, breathed out by God, once for all delivered to the saints, the word of God. God wants to speak to you here, and he wants to hear from you. So how can we become less distracted and more devoted to prayer? Some simple ideas. Just pray. Anywhere, everywhere, redeem your car rides. Oh, I got 17 minutes until I get to Shields and then Kohl's and Sports Warehouse. I'll just pray to redeem the time. You know, or when you're tempted, where you get mad and you hit every single red light and you're like, whoo, those things that start coming out of your mouth, like, oh, instead of that, I'm going to say, Lord, help me, I'm about to lose my mind. That's prayer. God wants to hear those prayers. Prayer scripture. Psalms is a great place to start. I'm so excited we're going into this book next week. God gave us a book that teaches us how to communicate with him. How cool is that? What a good dad, right? Not, so a whole bunch of books. I'm like, here's what you need to know. You need to be reminded. Hold tight. Hold fast. Pay closer attention. You need this. This is essential for you. It's God-breathed. It'll protect you. But also, hey, here's how you talk to me. Psalms is a beautiful book. If you don't know how to pray, just turn those Psalms prayers into your prayers. Go on prayer walks. Easy. Everybody's on their phones and their little AirPods now, so you can put your AirPods in or your headphones and pretend like you're talking to someone and you don't look crazy. But the reality is, they're crazy because you're talking to God. Big prayers, little prayers, insignificant prayers, big prayers, anything. Shout your prayers. Yell. Get mad. Tell the Lord how mad you are. Get angry. Let God know your heart. Listen to promptings. Silence. What about silence? Have you ever just sat in a room with someone and just like not said anything and you're okay with it? Like I'm just in your presence, and I just feel more calm. Unless you have kids, that never happens, right? You're like, why are you so quiet? They're plotting and scheming. But with the Lord, he's not plotting and scheming against you. Or pray, listen to the promptings, right? Like if you feel a need to pray, somebody's like, eh, there's this and this and this, and I just need prayer. Just stop and be like, hey man, I'm weird. I'm just gonna pray for you right now. When my kids and I were driving, we see like the paramedics fly by, and we just stop and just pray. We say, Lord, just in this, Lord, we just pray for whatever's going on, that you protect those people, that nobody be hurt. So simple. Before and after meals, before you read, schedule a time. I have this thing in my calendar. I'll show you a little bit right here. If you can look on the left, that's my calendar for tomorrow. If you notice at 2 p.m., I have this in my calendar every week that says, Lord, speak. It's just because I just want to have a moment with the Lord, and I should probably clarify because people are saying KFC. I am not planning to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken tomorrow. I'm in a Simpsons fan club called Krusty Fan Club, and on the first, there's a thing. But if y'all want to go to KFC tomorrow, hit me up. I'm down too. But Lord speak at 2 p.m. It's just like the most mellow part of my week, I feel like, around 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, where I just like, Lord, is there something I should know? Is there something I should do? What are you saying? Very simple. Or if you notice later on in that my calendar for tomorrow, we're having a prayer meeting. Schedule that tomorrow. Why don't you come start the new year praying with your brothers and sisters, asking for the Lord to bless what he's doing here in this church, to pray for one another individually. It'll be a beautiful time. We'd love for you to join us. It's free, 5 p.m. That would be awesome. Those are some ways that you could stir up your prayer life. I got 8 minutes. I'm failing y'all. I'll try and go faster here. So your second big idea as we try and get you going, devoted disciples love one another. So that first is very individual. Like, here's how I can grow with the Lord. Devotion, God's word, prayer. That makes sense, right? And then now, there's a responsibility, I think, for us to love one another better. We need to be devoted to meet together. Again, in Hebrews chapter 10, let us consider how to stir up one another in love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. So again, Scripture is reminding us there's something that we're really good at, and it's getting out of the habit of meeting together. And that was real then. That's really real here in 2023. I've read some statistics that say upwards to 25 to 35% of regularly church-attending, Bible-believing Christians have still not returned to church since the COVID-19 pandemic. We're talking a third of professing Christians 2 years on the other side of this thing have not returned to the local church. And I'm not criticizing anybody's personal convictions or political stances on the COVID at all, but I think we see now 2 years on the other side of that. I don't think it's the fear of the virus that's causing people not to return. I think it's we've gotten out of the habit of not doing church, and we've filled up the habit of going to church together with new habits, which have now replaced church. You see it everywhere. And then our technology, again, man, our phones have not helped us. They've bred this culture in us, in our world. There's this false community, which is really just disconnection and isolation. So it seems like I'm talking to somebody, but this person doesn't know who I am, but I'm giving all my time and influence to them. They don't know me. They don't care for me. So what kind of relationship is that? That's a bad relationship. That's not good for us. But we pretend we're getting community and real connection with fake people we don't know on our screens while yet never leaving the house. And it's all smoke and mirrors. All of it. And it's our anxiety and our depression and our discouragement and our self-hate and our loneliness thrive on it. I mean, if we're honest, it does not take much for us to just drift away from what Scripture says is so vital and essential for us. And I'm not saying this as a critique, man. Sometimes we got to get out in the wilderness. Sometimes we got to go skiing, and we got activities, and the kids are in sports, and those things are awesome, and we should enjoy those things because God created, I think, all of those things. Yeah, wilderness and skiing and activities and kids' sports. Yeah, God created. Those are beautiful things. But we do need to be reminded that a lot of those things can sometimes really push against our flesh to want it. Oh, I got to go to church, man. And sometimes it's just really hard to go, right? There's days where you just do not want to get up, or you've just messed up and you just feel like a failure, and walking in just feels like, man, I'm a phony, I can't go. Or sometimes you come, but it's reluctant. It's like, the only reason I'm here is because I gotta serve, right? Or it's just a nightmare trying to get your kids dressed, and in the car and to church, right? It's chaos. I understand that. But Scripture says we need to be careful not to neglect to meet one another. Those are all big issues that can really create in us a disconnection to wanting to be with God's people. We need to be in the presence of one another. We need to be reminded that we are loved by Jesus. We need that. We need to encourage one another. We need to be devoted to meet together. So I'll end with this. Man, I'll tell you what, guys, your physical presence matters in the local church. Man, we need each other. It is so good for your soul, better than you may comprehend, to be in the house of the Lord with his saints. When I'm stressed, when I'm anxious, when I'm discouraged with the day and the week and everything that it brings, to be able to come here and see my brothers and sisters, that tremendously helps me. To hear other voices singing, to sit under the preaching of God's word together, to see people coming, willing to serve, teaching my kids, leading me in worship, serving me coffee, to see these people who also decided that gathering together was worth getting dressed and getting the family ready and coming here. That blesses me. And when you guys come with all of your discouragements and all of your burdens and all of your frustrations, and you're still here to worship the same one true God with me, oh, that does my soul so good. I need to be here with you. Can I get an amen from anybody? Amen. Man, if we can't convince ourselves that this is worth coming to, man, if we don't leave here excited and fired up for Jesus, man, what a testimony we're wasting. What an opportunity. If the unbelieving world doesn't see how much we value the church, why would the unbelieving world ever see the church as something valuable to them? But this is my heart. I hope it's your heart too. 2 minutes. Uh-oh. Your presence just really encourages me. It reminds me I'm not a fool. I'm not wasting my life. I really believe this, and I really need Jesus. And so does that gal over there. And so does that family right there. And they're here because they believe that. So for my sake, for their sake, I need you to really listen to me. Your presence matters. So how can we be an encouragement to other believers? Some quick things. I'd say when you come, really arrive, right? If you took the work to get here, really be here. You go to work and you clock in and then you sit down and fall asleep. How long are you going to last? They're going to go, hey, we're on to you, dude. You don't want to be here. Bye. I know it's hard sometimes, but do it. Set the tone for your family, men especially, brothers. Own it. This starts at the house. Kids, let's go. I've been waiting all day to be with the saints. Get in the car. Hey, what do you think the band's going to play? Do you remember what you talked about last week? What was your friend's name that you met? That was so encouraging. You stir up affections for your family. Brothers, especially you, men, lead your family in that. Or kids, this is for you. Lead your parents in that. Mom, dad, let's go. I'm excited to see my friends. I'm going to learn about Jesus because he's kind of dope. Really be here when you arrive. Encourage one another when you get here. Really worship. Like, ask the Lord to stir up your heart. God, I don't want to sing. Some of y'all are great singers. I know. Some of you aren't good singers. I know. I don't care. It's beautiful. Come and sing with gusto, right? Sing. My phone just notified me. I need to check it. Sorry. Sing enthusiastically, right? Even when you're not all in. You go to a football game, you spend a bunch of money to go, and your team scores a touchdown. What happens at the stadium? Boom! Everybody loses their mind. You know what that's called? That's worship. You know what you don't do? That touchdown just really didn't mean anything to me. I mean, yeah, on paper, I think touchdowns are cool. They're just not really my thing today, man. You wouldn't do that. Listen, I can have a really bad day, and I can go to a jazz game knowing they're probably not going to do very well. They're doing better than I think we all thought. But I can have a really bad day, and I can still go there and enjoy myself because when I'm there, something happens, man. I enter into this worship event happening in this arena. We come here to worship the King of Kings, who paid our sin debt and raised his life up from the dead. Listen, I don't care how bad my day is. I don't care how bad your day is. You know what we need? The gospel is exactly what we need to hear. And gospel people are exactly who I need to be with. My daughter the other day at small group, we were singing Christmas songs, but Mr. Jesse was jamming for us. And my daughter, Piper, she leans into me and she goes, "Dad, how come when we sing Jesus songs, I just feel like I want to move and dance so much?" And I said, "Baby, it's because that's worship. You were made to worship. Baby, that's your heart leaping for joy for the God of the universe that created you." She taught her pastor dad that night, man. Like, when I come to church, when I'm here with these saints and these brothers and sisters are up here leading me in worship, I need to seek that same kind of joy in my bones that my 7-year-old daughter so deeply, passionately feels. Makes you consider when Jesus says to have faith like a child, right? But really worship, not just for your sake, not just for my sake, but because Jesus is worthy of your worship. Whether you're having a good day or not. Next year, I'm not gonna ruin y'all's year. You're probably gonna have a bad year. I think, I'm not gonna guarantee, I'm not prophesying doom on y'all, but we might just have a bad year and we might have a good year. Some of you will have good years, some of you will have bad years. Regardless, Jesus is worthy of all of our worship. Really love one another. You guys, I'm failing y'all. Really encourage each other. Make connections, talk, show up, arrive, be present, love. Compliment. "Hey, it's so good to see you. Hey, Merry Christmas. It looks like you got new earrings. Hey, Brian, did you shower today?" "Nope, but thanks for thinking I did." Like, I love those things. Encourage each other. Really listen. Man, people want to be seen, heard, and loved. And when you come here, you can meet every single one of those needs. Every single one. Encourage those who serve. The men and women who are, and some of your kiddos who are now even teaching some of the shepherding classes in church, man. Encourage the people who are pouring your coffee and watching security, watching over you and your loved ones in your car while you're in here, staying warm. The worship team, encourage one another and serve, really serve. Maybe that's for you. Maybe you need to realize church isn't just about me, but it's also about these people, and ultimately it's about Jesus. I think President JFK said it something like this. He said, "Ask not what your church can do for you, but what you can do for your church." I think, don't Google that. I'm pretty sure that's what he said. I'm not quite sure. But just so you know, what does your church do for you? I asked Mrs. Mary Young. It takes about 115 people every Saturday and Sunday to make church service happen. So when you roll in here, I want you to think about that. There's 115 people every week showing up to make sure that the air I breathe is crisp and where it's warm and it smells like Christmas and my kids are being taught Bible and they're keeping my car safe and the coffee is delicious and the bathrooms are clean. 115 people show up week after week to serve you. Maybe you should jump in and help. We really need some help. You can go to that link right there. You can fill out a form right now, trc.life/serve. We tried. This is my heart for y'all, as devoted disciples, that we would be resolved to give more of our time and our energy and our life and to participate in what Jesus is doing here. It's a beautiful thing because Jesus was resolved to give all of his time and his energy and his life for you, so... Last question. Jesus is devoted to his church. He is. Unfailing passion and love and devotion to the church. What about you? We need to really believe that what happens when we come here is good for us. It's not just about me. It's not just about you. But it's about where we can come to worship God. The fact that we can worship God in this country, do you realize how incredible a privilege that is for us? That we can even do this? We need to cling to our faith. We need to cling to our devotion to Jesus now more than ever. So again, I'll ask you the questions again. I would love for you to consider this as you're rolling into the new year and you're heading to wherever you're going tonight. How am I going to grow in my devotion to Jesus? Do I even want to? If I do, what might that look like? Just turning up the temperature 1 degree, what would that look like? Can I do it? And then what would it look like for me to grow in my devotion with my brothers and sisters? So here's what we're going to do, because We're about done. Skylar's going to come up. I think we're going to sing another song. And we're going to send y'all away. And we'll see y'all next year. There's a prayer meeting tomorrow. I'd really love it if you guys came. It would mean a lot to me to pray with you and for you. But here's what I'm going to do. I want to pray for you all right now. And it's going to be a little different. This might feel a little funky and strange for you. That's great. What I would like for you to do is I would love for y'all to stand up. I'd like to pray for you. And this might feel a little strange for you as well. But as I'm praying for you, if you go, I want this prayer, I receive this prayer, I would just ask for you, just like you would in worship, when you raise your hands to embrace, like, God, hear me. God, I love you. God, hear my prayer. So if you would, that might take a little bit of faith for you. You could put your hands like this. You could put your hands like this. You could do however. I would love for you to commit to show God, I want this prayer to be my prayer this evening and into my new year and for the rest of my life. So if you would bow your heads, raise your hands, and we will pray together, okay? I will pray for you. Father, I pray for your sons and your daughters right now in this room. I pray for this moment in time, Jesus, the final day of the year 2022 in the year of our Lord. Fathers, we're looking forward to a new year, that we would see it as new year of daily mercies and grace and tender love from you. Lord, I ask that you would stir up in all of our hearts, a thirst and a hunger for your word. Lord, I pray for your children, that they would meet you and they seek you and they come to your word. Your word is the truth. It guides and protects them. I pray that they would come to you and they would hear from you and they would grow in their wisdom and understanding that will protect them. Your word is truth. Lord, I pray for your sons and daughters that they would have a real emphasis and a desire to approach your throne of grace with prayer. By the blood of Jesus, we have been allowed access to draw near to you. May we never neglect such a sweet, precious truth. Lord, I pray for our love for one another, that we would not neglect to do life with one another, not neglect to see the value of being with one another, whether it's in this building or outside of it. Jesus, I pray you would stir up that devotion to really be present when we come to this place. Lord, give us more of the truth of your word. Give us more of the comfort of your love. And give us more of the fellowship of your people. And I ask that for all of your sons and daughters present. And I ask that for all of your sons and daughters who call the Rock Church their home. We say that in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.